Stream is up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we're live, coming to you from an undisclosed location somewhere in Northeast Ohio. I'm Josh McClay, a.k.a. O'Malley of O'Malley's Adventure. That's Brian Weller of Two Tigers Tactical, and this is the Patient Patriot Podcast. I want to thank everybody for joining. Whether you're watching live or in post, the number to contact the show is 234-650-4920, or you can email us at patientpatriot@yahoo.com. So now that I'm completely ready for the People's Republic of America, I'm in my garb, I'm on the right side, I've got my hurutska on.
Yeah, you won't be thrown into a gulag. I will.
Yeah, you lose. You lose.
I'll be going for re-education, and clearly you will not.
So, anyway, there's nothing wrong with a little jest. This, yeah. By the way, thank you, Adam. He is a new viewer, a new coworker.
Yeah, man.
And he's on board.
All right. Yeah, I love those kinds of hats, man. They're nice and toasty in the wintertime.
Especially if you're plowing snow. You don't get a lot of interaction with the public when you're wearing that.
Yeah. Kind of keeps people at bay. You look like, who was it, Klinger on MASH? Right. Didn't he wear a hat like that?
Something like crazy. Yeah. So anyway, let's start about slightly light with some off predictions.
Okay. So if you tuned in, and thanks for the few of you that are here, and hopefully more will be joining, if you tuned in last time, we did a show on New Year's Day, correct?
Yes.
And we had a few predictions for the coming year. And I have a feeling some of them are going to be right and then some. But some of them are already blatantly wrong. And one of those was our prediction for the Ohio State game. I did not have enough faith, and you are just a plain old hater. And the Buckeyes proved both of us wrong and whipped old Clemson's Tiger behind.
Hater, man, that's tough.
No, you are. So you can't deny it. You're a Michigan fan. For people that don't know, look, Josh is a Patriot, but he is a traitor when it comes to college football.
You haven't seen Red Dawn, have you?
You know what? Wolverine's just a fancy name for a honey badger, and honey badger don't care, so.
Anywho.
But you root for the Browns, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And well, I could care less about the Browns.
On. I'm rooting for the Browns as long as my dad's not around. If my dad was here, I'd be a Steelers fan 100%.
Yeah, so you're just a contrarian. We've talked about that before.
Just with him.
So we were both wrong about Ohio State. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that they won and did it in a rather exciting fashion. And now they move forward, man. Any predictions on the next round for the Buckeyes?
Yeah. I don't know that there's any how do I want to say it?
Something about a snowball and a chance in hell?
Yeah. Look, they played one tough game and they got beat up.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
I would argue that's about the same chance that the Browns have of beating Pittsburgh tonight, but time will tell, huh, brother?
Yeah, we'll see. There's nothing more than I want for the Browns to win.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But to look at it realistically, they have a lot of holes in the defense.
Yeah, their chances, I would say, are under about 40%.
Yeah.
I'd say 60-40 Steelers. One that we weren't off on, though, and unfortunately I think we're going to continue to be proven right on this one, is the increase in craziness and violence that we're going to see in this coming year. And you and I had both said that, you know, my big quote from that, my takeaway that I spoke out on that podcast was that crazy is here and violence is coming.
Yeah.
And truth be told, violence has already been here in some form or fashion, and mob violence and riots and, you know, autonomous zones and all that kind of stuff for several months. But I think what you're going to see and what we saw Wednesday,
yes,
which was Wednesday the 6th?
Yes.
And the electoral process moving forward and the infiltrating of the Capitol building, which is wild, historic, certainly. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to camp there too awful long, but it definitely proved our prediction right, that you're going to see people, I think, becoming more aggressive. And as not so much the Democrat Party that's mainstream, that you and I have friends or family members that vote Democrat, but as the fringe elements of the Democrat Party continues to jump the shark on issues of gun control because it's coming, and issues of speech, mm-hmm. on issues of privacy and individual sovereignty, I think you're going to see a bigger and a stronger pushback from, you know, hard right-leaning patriots. And so I think we're going to see, you know, the agitation continue, and I think you're going to see people responding in a more aggressive way. You know, the old quote at one time attributed to George Washington, but is unofficially attributed, and we're not really sure where it came from, but is beware the fury of a patient man. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we got the name for this podcast, the Patient Patriot, the idea that, look, man, reasonable people will show restraint for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
But just like Killdozer, if you're familiar with that story, the guy that carried that out, where he turned his bulldozer into a tank and destroyed half the town, one of his favorite quotes was, sometimes reasonable people are pushed to do unreasonable things. And I think you're going to see more people embracing that mindset. You know, we're certainly not advocating for violence, but whether you advocate for it or not, I think it's coming.
Sure. And when I was talking about that last week, I was thinking after the inauguration, I did not think that it was going to come that quickly.
Well, and that's the challenge with large events like that. You know, you and I have had both have had opportunities to go down for the rally in Richmond over gun rights, D.C. multiple times now over, you know, the prayer gathering and Trump rally previously. And we were even invited this most recent time to go down in kind of a media capacity. And the risk with that is, man, it's, you get that many people that are that frustrated in one spot, and people with competing ideas, and there's a real risk for crazy to kind of boil over. And so I don't think that's going to go away, which brings us to our topic tonight. You know, it's been a long time since you and I have did a primer on prepping.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have to believe that, you know, honestly, that the zombie apocalypse is coming, or that, you know, chaos is going to be in the streets, or civil war. Excuse me. You don't have to believe it's going to be that extreme to be aware that you need to start setting some stores aside. This is a concept, and it doesn't have to be as crazy as Doomsday Preppers was on whatever network that was on.
Discovery.
That was entertaining to watch. I'll give them that. But you don't have to be that crazy, and you don't have to be a billionaire and get all the preps done. But it's kind of like exercise, man. You gotta start somewhere.
Yes.
And you gotta take some action. Because if you look at the large picture, it's easy to get overwhelmed, and 5 years from now, you won't be in any better position. But man, if you just start small, like the few items I have here on the table, you know, beans, bullets, and Band-Aids, as the cliche goes, if you can start small and just start now and at least start taking some action, because it doesn't have to be a big, you know, an EMP that knocks out the grid, or, you know, the landing of aliens, or, you know, like Mars Attacks.
Right.
You know, what a crazy, crazy movie. But it could be as simple as a run on toilet paper because people have lost their mind over a hyped up pandemic.
Right.
You know, if anything, we've seen instances this past year of times where having some stuff set back might have been
a good thing,
prudent or beneficial. You know, when we all thought it was really, really bad in February, and nobody wanted to leave the house, the idea of having some food stocked back enough to get through a couple, 3 weeks, so you didn't have to engage with people and didn't have to worry about gaining viral contact, might have been a good thing. Or having enough toilet paper set back that you didn't have to be panicked by a absurd run on toilet paper.
Right.
Or in the case of home defense and personal defense, having enough ammo set back because the ammo crunch is real right now. Anybody that does any shooting knows this, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. That's not going to alleviate for the next 2 years.
Right.
I mean, you're looking at 2 years of elevated prices and scarcity.
Right.
And so, you know, the thing is, it's But even then, it's now's a better time to get it than never getting it at all.
Sure.
And if you're not already well stocked. So we're going to talk about some of those issues. I think a basic primer without getting too in-depth and spending 3 hours here tonight. Mm-hmm. But we are going to talk about food, mm-hmm. Water security, self-defense tools, right. Other general good tools to have in the face of a loss of power, prolonged loss of power,
right.
And stuff like that. So this is an area that you and I have a little bit of experience in. I certainly don't have a bunker built in my basement, and I don't have enough to last for 5 years. Mm-hmm. But you and I have taken small incremental steps,
right,
to try and prepare for challenging times, natural disasters, challenging weather events, runs on odd items, stuff like that.
I think we should start with food, and I have two items that were donated by a viewer, and I don't know if he wants me to say who it is, but he is going to see this, and I'm going to get a little preface. He put these together pre-pandemic for like $5 to $6.
Sure.
They're at like a little over $7 now.
Sure.
But hold on a second. Let me get them.
Okay. Well, while you get that, I'm just going to talk a little bit about what food security might look like. So, while Josh is gathering some items, food security can just be throwing an extra canned good in the cupboard or, an extra jar of peanut butter that you're not touching and throwing it down on a shelf. It can be as simple as that. It can be as extensive as, big plastic tubs of dehydrated stuff from a prepper website that can sit, in a dehydrated state for 15, 20 years. It can be canning. If any of you guys out there are into canning, if you're not a canner, the startup on that's kind of like trying to start reloading. If you have to buy everything you need to start canning, it's probably not the path for you for prepping. But if you already have it, then, man, that's a good way to start setting stuff back in preparation for challenging days. But you brought this up, so let's dig in.
So Ed says yes. So I'm going to say that Ed is currently watching, and Ed is the one that put these together.
So we're officially, tonight's show is sponsored by Ed.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
Every part of this is put together by him with the intent of like a day-ish of calories.
Yeah.
Even this bag is included in the cost. Mm-hmm. The bag itself, once it's empty, can be used to catch water. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he put these together, there was some redundancy built in.
Yeah, some forethought.
And everything in here you can eat hot or cold. You don't have to heat it.
That's fantastic.
So I think I've got the chili mac, and I was gonna have you sample this one.
I'd rather chew into the Pop Tart.
Right, and the thing is, I
my sweet tooth, dude. I'm like, hi there.
Right, I gave you the wrong one.
Well, hey, I'm open for tradesies here.
Okay, because like I'm a big chili mac fan. My favorite uncle used to make me eat a lot of chili mac.
And you left me with the Pop Tarts, which and juicy fruits and Lord.
You've got the tuna.
Okay.
I'm gonna put this out as well. He has like 8 or 9, I think. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head.
Sure.
He showed me different ones that he had put together. All of them are very similar. If you were to ever take apart, like,
it's good quality food too.
Right.
You got like star-kissed tuna and stuff. So, here's the reality. I'm just going to be real, and I appreciate Ed sending this stuff in and the opportunity to talk about it. You might look at a bag like this of food and think, $7 or $8, $10, man, that could add up pretty quick. I'm going to tell you, this is not garbage. This is good food.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we know what inflation is and how bad it's gotten, so that a cup of coffee can cost you $5 or $6.
Yes.
Depending on, unless you're getting, gas station garbage or McDonald's, rot gut coffee. Any decent cup of coffee is going to cost you $5 or more. Any fast food meal is going to cost you, hell, damn near what the price of a steak was 20 years ago. You're looking at $12 or $15 for a fast food meal now. It's crazy. But So it can be as structured as this, and I'm sure Josh is going to put up info in the quote-unquote show notes or in the comments if you want to pursue something like this. It can be as structured and as organized and put together by somebody else, or it can be simpler. I think this is a fantastic idea, but this might not be the only path. And we're just going to talk about options. So,
Ed says that he has 15
different
entrees.
Yeah, so 2 weeks worth of if you did one a day.
So I'm gonna try the chili mac.
Well, you go for it.
And
I'm assuming, does he have a rough calorie count on how much is in each bag? What are we breaking down here? You feel free to answer that in the questions there or comments, Ed.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously this is maybe not a full day's worth of calories, but it's better than nothing, and it's a start, man. And here's the thing. That's what we're going to talk about repeatedly tonight is you got to start somewhere. You know, like I said, if it's a can of beans and instead of putting it in your grocery cupboard, maybe you put it down on a shelf down in the basement. You know, canned goods can last for a long, long time. Dried goods can last for a long, long time. And you got to start somewhere. You know, I've got, I'm going to bring a tub. I'm going to step away while Josh is, or lean away while Josh is digging his chili mac. So I'll be right back in a second.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, there was the first one I had a sheet of paper with a breakdown.
Jesus. The
calorie count for these would be close to a day. I think it's based on 2,000 calories.
Oh, nice.
I think.
So you got almost a day's worth of food for under $10. You know, the thing is, too, like, I set this big bucket up here. I don't even know who this one's from. I've just been stockpiling from different suppliers. I have to actually turn and look. All right, so this is the Wise Food Company. They're pretty prominent. There's a couple that are real big. And, you know, 56 servings, emergency food supplies. It's all dehydrated. And you add some water and have something to live on. So it can be as structured as this and stored in your basement for challenging times. It can be a simple grab and go like this. And if you guys or anybody out there that's currently watching, if you guys got any food stores, I know some of our viewers are hunters. You probably got some meat in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff like that. Wintertime, it's easy to keep stuff cold and frozen. What are your backup plans for energy? So we're going to dive into all that kind of stuff.
Anyway, he said he was going to add these, but it would for sure increase the cost.
Yeah. Dude wipes?
It's for your backside, bro.
Oh. I thought it was for wiping the beard when you get food crumbs in it, you know? I'm like, no, I'm saving those for later during a pandemic. I'm hungry. I'm going to shake that out onto a plate and get about another 200 calories.
I'm going to say that the chili mac would be a little more up your alley because it does have some tang to it. I like that one.
I like it.
Go ahead and have the Pop-Tart, bro. You can have mine.
No, look, I'm trying to behave on my calories and trying to watch. I know you are, too.
So you're scared.
Nice try. I will definitely be digging this tuna. That's a good right before bed for me. So we appreciate Ed sending those in. And what are you guys doing for food prep? You know, why is food security important? If we're talking about maybe a natural disaster or a blizzard like what, 78 was the last ginormous one that a lot of people our age remember. Or civil unrest. Why do you think it's important to have food security?
I'm going to have to say, especially with the past year, you can put more focus on other things, like when there was run on toilet paper, and there were times you went to different box stores, and they were out of things other than toilet paper. Toilet paper was the one that stuck out the most.
Yeah. No, if you look down the paper goods, sorry to interrupt, but you're right. If you look down the paper good aisle, there were, they were wiped out of paper plates, paper towels, toilet paper. Cleaning supplies were huge.
Mm-hmm.
So that ought to tell you something when it comes to cleaning down surfaces, disinfecting wounds, you know, that kind of stuff. And so, but you're right. Then it kind of spread out because I think you and I talked about that last year is that it makes sense to see a run on food. mm-hmm. when things get weird, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't expect the run on toilet paper, but then you're right, after those initial couple weeks, then you started seeing like canned good aisles were wiped out. And it was like, yes. Oh shit, people are really starting to get a little bit nervous here, because it was like, dude, you could look and the only thing that was like in the canned goods aisle was like refried beans that are worse than this brand. I mean, it was like, you're like, oh my gosh.
Somebody's going to eat that.
Like all the veggies were gone. All the canned fruit was gone. Most of the stuff that you and I would consider edible
right.
had disappeared. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, people have kind of gotten nervous. And so it doesn't take a huge event. I mean, you know, we call this a pandemic, but the mortality rate on this is still relatively low. Right. I'm not saying you can completely dismiss it, because you and I have had friends and family that have battled it. I get that. Mm-hmm. But in the grand scheme of things, COVID is really not a global killer. And yet it was enough to drive panic purchasing and supply shortages. So in my mind, food security, look, man, there's a few basic things you need to survive, right? It's called the rule of threes?
Yes.
You got 3 minutes without oxygen.
Right.
3 hours of exposure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 3 days without water. Mm-hmm. And 3 weeks roughly for most people without food.
Right.
And if you break any one of those, you're actually in critical trouble. And so, you know, do you have enough food storage to get you through 2 or 3 weeks of really challenging times? In my mind, that's important to have.
Another thing too, don't get so locked into the preps that you don't realize they can be rotated through what you're normally using to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I think when people first start, they're almost overwhelmed.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't have to be something where you're going out and you're spending hundreds of dollars a month,
no.
you know, to prep.
That and it doesn't even have to be like these big plastic tubs like from Wise Food, you know, which you can get at a reasonable price. And, you know, that's long-term storage. But it can just be, like you said, stuff you're already eating. Cans of tuna, cans of chicken. You know, we use that on a regular basis. Peanut butter. Bread ain't going to keep too well. Okay, fair enough. But grains, you know, rice, stored properly, will stay for a long, long time. You know, staples that maybe you're already rotating into your... And then it's not super foreign if, you know, like this bag of tuna, let's say you have it stored in your basement, and 5 years from now, you're like, well, you know, nothing ever collapsed. Well, I can still eat this because this is normal food, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be something, you know, weird or spectacular. It can just be stuff you normally buy anyways that will keep, that you just start, you know... A can every payday, mm-hmm. you know, a bag of flour, something. You got to start somewhere. And I can't impress upon you how important this is, because I don't think we're going to see an end to the chaos and the craziness. You know, and most people that know me know I tend to be a little bit jaded and cynical, and maybe a little bit pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fair, because I am. But I don't think we're going to see this stuff lighten up. I think we're going to see it become more severe. And you have to have a way to survive and keep the people that you love fed and secure.
Ed also is a gardener. He's into the canning and dehydration.
Yeah,
he's,
I'm glad you went to that.
He's at a couple different levels.
And that's the thing, too. So, you know, for some of us, it's hunting and the ability to hunt. I have a few friends that are still trappers. It's a skill that has rapidly disappeared in this culture. So the ability to hunt and trap, okay, fantastic, to procure food if you don't have it stored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, storables like what we've already talked about. But then past that, canned goods and like I talked about, dehydrated goods, or canning, stuff that you've set back, right. you know, because you've canned it and it's stored for however many years it'll hold. But past that, do you have seed set back? You say, well, you know, how can it'll never get that bad? Well, I hope you're right.
Yeah.
But look, man, I'm not the world's best gardener, but I'll throw out a couple hot peppers every year in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And between me and the in-laws, we try to grow a little bit of, you know, some tomatoes, some cucumbers, just to be at least survival functioning.
Right.
You know, I'm not the world's best gardener, but
right.
if I had to, I could put something in the ground and watch it grow. And so, yes, I think it's multi-layered. And that's where it can become really easy to become overwhelmed. But it's the same thing. You know, come springtime when seeds are plentiful and cheap, you know, seeds will keep for damn near 20 years.
Right.
I hesitate. I found a particular type of seed from when my father passed. This is about 5 years ago. And I won't go into what type of seed it was, but I know for a fact it was over 20 years old. Well, I won't say who, but somebody I know planted one and it sprouted and we immediately threw it away because of what it was. But seeds will keep for 15, 20 years right. if stored in airtight, you know, dark little, this one was in a film container, canister, so you can imagine what it was back from the 70s, my dad being in the Marine Corps. But, you know, stuff will keep for a long, long time. That's my point. I've got hot pepper seeds that I know in their current state will last 12, 15 years.
Yeah.
You just throw a little bit of water on them and some soil and magically it starts happening. So you don't have to be super, you know, it's easy to get lost in all this and think, man, I have to learn about everything. No, you don't. You know, grab a couple packs of seeds, throw them downstairs with the rest of your stuff.
Right.
You know, a couple canned goods and start small, but start somewhere.
Real quick, Jay said that he apologized. He wanted to be the first caller. He's kind of, I don't know exactly if he wants me to say what he's doing, but he is not able to call in.
Okay.
Avid hiker.
Yeah.
Ed says he knows how to grow little Debbies.
If you know how to grow oatmeal cream pies, tell me. I'm in. There's a few things I could probably live on. You know, if you said you can only eat one food for the rest of your life, you're strapped on a desert island and there's only one food source, pizza would be up there, right? Mm-hmm. Peanut butter for me would be anything carbs.
Mm-hmm.
But oatmeal cream pies, dude, would definitely be up there.
You
tell me I can only eat 1,500 calories of oatmeal cream pies every day and somehow I'd magically lose weight. I'm on the oatmeal cream pie diet tomorrow. So if they got seeds for that, yeah, man, hook me up. All right, so that's, look, we could dive down and drill down into this shit forever.
Mm-hmm.
But we just want to stay surface and kind of talk about different areas to kind of get your own brain thinking. And because, you know, this is something that is very personal. It's like firearms and ammo and how you store your stuff or how you secure your home. There's no wrong answer. You just got to do something, right, that makes sense to you and your family. Or you and your geography, where you live has an impact on this kind of stuff. What you see coming in the future, what kind of disaster you think you're preparing for. But we wanted to keep it kind of surface and move quickly because otherwise we'll be here forever. And then,
sure.
And then it'll be easy for you to say, well, I can't do those five things that Brian said, and then you don't do anything. So you got to figure something out. I don't care what it is. If you want to reach out to Ed on prepared, prepackaged, I think that's a fantastic idea. If you have questions for us offline, but we're going to move off of food storage, I think.
One last comment about the prepackaged.
Sure.
The first one that we had, the missus and I, when we did the hike up to New Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
That's
how many miles did you guys go that day?
12 and a half one direction, so it was 25 total.
So you guys pounded some calories, huh?
Well, and I was going to say that these, for hiking, or if you're traveling distance,
yeah, man.
They work very well. They are carb dense.
Yeah, man.
So,
and I noticed you even put in some.
Oh yeah, dude.
Some coffee.
Yep, there's coffee. I think I got hot chocolate with mine.
Yeah, instant coffee. I was trying to think of the word, and it's right on there. So instant coffee, good for drinking and snorting. No, I'm kidding.
Don't snort your coffee.
Don't snort coffee. Might be a bad day. All right, so we talked about food. What about water security?
Water security.
How important is water, Josh?
Well,
we did the rule of threes.
Hold on. You know how important it is? In all 50 states, it's illegal to collect.
Oh. So now all of a sudden you want to be the conspiracy theorist of the two of us.
No, huh? We had a guy that said he was going to drain the swamp, and it's still illegal to collect rainwater.
Oh, come on. Quit your bitching about Trump. I have a lot of people. I have a lot of friends that watched last time are like, well, that show wasn't what we expected it to be because apparently they wanted a Trump rah-rah, you know.
I'm not that guy.
I'm not either. And look, for some of you who don't know us real well, I tend to be a conspiracy-oriented libertarian, and I think Josh tends to be a free-thinking libertarian. And so we don't, not every liberal idea is bad. Not every Republican Party idea is fantastic.
Right.
And we're not going to bow down and worship at the altar of the cult of personality. So, you know, look, you might not agree with this. I think what we say is what we believe. And I think there's a good repertoire between the two of us. Sometimes we're going to disagree. And when we do, you know, we're not going to get crazy and camp on it and argue and flip tables. But, you know, I think there's room here for discussion. And even amongst you, I know some of you have different ideas about stuff, and that's fine. We love that you're here. And we got to be careful, too, because we talk about, for if you ever listen, for anybody that listens down the road to this on air, the audio only on Stitcher or Spotify, because we're on a few different platforms, and you always list them for me when I get them wrong. But we had to be careful because this started out as a vlog or a video podcast, and so a lot of our props and our discussion focuses around visuals. And so we got to be careful to make sure we're giving audio descriptions of the stuff that we're talking about.
Right.
I just wanted to remember that. But, you know, no, we're going back to rainwater without getting sidetracked about Trump, because I don't care to talk about that right now.
Okay.
Water is really critical. And I have two examples. We talked about it in passing last podcast, the idea that my hot water tank went out. It was a Sears brand. And it was 30 years old before it finally gave up the ghost. So kudos to Sears or whoever they outsourced it to. Man, they did a hell of a job. But it finally died, and we had to get a new one put in. So we went without water, I'm going to say a day and a half. By the time we got it gathered, and you know, it could have been quicker, but I kind of dawdled for a minute. And so a day and a half, you think, well, a day without water ain't that big a deal. No, it is, man. And you think, well, I don't use that much water. I just drink a little bit, and we'll get a couple flats of bottles, and we'll be fine. Well, yeah, until you try to go flush your toilet.
Right.
And you drop 1 gallon, and it doesn't flush because you don't have an efficient toilet because it's 30 years old. And then you're like, well, I just wasted a gallon, and it didn't actually do what I wanted it to do. Now I got to throw 2 more gallons behind it. So I've just pissed away 3 gallons of water trying to flush my doggone toilet.
Right.
And then you realize quickly how much water you need to live at the lifestyle you're currently living. It's averaged, I'm going to say, I think Americans go through about, 5 to 8 gallons per person a day?
Per day, right.
I mean, that is a shit ton of water, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, survival, can you get away with 1 gallon a day? Yeah, you can. But if you got, like me, a family of 3 or 4 or 5 on your property, dude, you're going to go through some water in a day.
Right.
And we quickly learned that with our hot water tank. Well, then fast forward a couple weeks from there, and our main water line to the street went out. And we started calling around, and people are like, well, yeah, well, not only is it going to be way more than you want to pay, but we can't get out until next week. It's like a week later.
Right.
I'm like, man, I can't run a hose to the neighbor's spigot and try to siphon off their water without them knowing. So the thought of going an entire week without water was absurd to me. So we tackled the job. Having said that, even tackling it ourselves, it still took about 3 days.
Right.
And 3-4 days, and you start realizing just how critical water is. And like you said, the fact that every state and most municipalities within those states have rules against collecting rainwater shows you how much they want to control and have power over the flow of water and your ability to keep it so that you are not under their thumb, I think is telling of how critical it is to life.
Mm-hmm.
Water rights. The fact that in where I live in Massillon, you can't legally collect rainwater.
You can't anywhere.
Can't. In most places, yeah.
In all 50 states, at some level, whether it's local or federal, you are not allowed to collect rainwater.
Can't redirect your own stream, or you see all kinds of EPA lawsuits over that kind of stuff, damming up streams to nope.
Right.
So they want to control it, and if they want to control it, that means it's important to you.
Right.
And so let's talk about water storage. That can be a simple starting, because this is another area where it'd be easy to get overwhelmed. You're like, well, I don't have 50-gallon drums that I can put in my basement, and I don't have these big cisterns, or I'm in city limits, so I can't legally drill a well. Okay, that's fine. Where can you start?
Here's how I started on the last one that we had done.
Yes.
Those juice bottles that you get from, like, V8 juice or whatnot.
Okay.
You clean those out. They have a rubber top on the inside. The place that I used to live, I'm not going to say the name because someone's going to sue me. I used to store water in those.
Okay.
Right? Straight out of the tap. It's chlorinated enough on the one that we done on water.
Mm-hmm.
I drank water that was, what, 6, 8 years old.
Yes. So, yeah, your municipal water source oftentimes has enough chlorine.
Absolutely.
And kill the germ stuff in it that...
You don't have to add.
You don't have to add. And if you do, it might be, you know, a teaspoon of bleach and a gargantuan
right.
amount of water. Sure. And it's going to hold for, what, Josh, 20 plus years?
Easy.
I mean, you know, it's not...
If as long as that lid is tight
mm-hmm.
and it was clean when you put it in there...
Correct.
I wouldn't even put a timeline on it because at the end of the day, you could open it up and boil it.
Yeah. And so, you know, for some of us, I know I have friends that, you know, they live by a water source. Well, I've got a creek in my backyard. Okay, fine. Cool.
Yeah.
What happens if somebody off your property dams that creek? What happens if somebody off your property pollutes that creek? Okay. Do you have a way of purifying?
Sure.
So carrying, transporting, purifying, storing, these are all elements of water security. Digging up Pierce Point, well, I know people that are extreme enough or prepared enough that they would put a Pierce Point well hidden in their shed, in their backyard,
yep.
or through the concrete in their basement. You go down 30, 40 feet and have access to water. So, you know, but wherever you start, whether it's, you know, old juice jugs,
mm-hmm.
old milk containers, jugs of water. I mean, water is still relatively cheap. It's like ammo was 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, now's the time to start thinking these ways. And water's an easy one, honestly, to rotate into your daily use. So, you know, you get 25-gallon jugs in your basement. And, man, I go through a lot of water.
Yes.
Bottled water. You get a couple extra flats. And, you know, if the world doesn't fall apart in 3 months, you just throw it up in the kitchen and start using it. It's not a big deal. It's not like it's... And to me, this is I know it's so cliche because it's on the advertisers' websites and promos for storable food, but it is insurance that you can eat mm-hmm. or insurance that you can drink in the case of water.
Yep.
And start somewhere, man. Start setting back jugs, start setting back bottles, you know, and then kind of build up from there. Because if you're without, what happens if the city comes out and shuts your line off for whatever reason?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of us think of utility shutoffs as a failure to pay. But it might not stay there throughout the next year, 3 years, or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It might become more aggressive. Well, then what are you going to do? If the city comes out and turns off your water line, what recourse do you have? Well, you could say, well, I've got one of those special wrenches in my basement. I'll just go out and turn it back on. Well, maybe.
You might.
You might. And you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But. So water is important. Having a hand pump, you know, if you have it stored in big, huge 50-gallon drums, having pumps
yes,
that you can then extract that water without losing it all over the floor, a means to purify, whether it's a filter system like a Berkey, whether it's, you know, you see videos all over the, YouTube on how to use really, really good filtration or filters from like a Berkey or something similar and just putting them in simple 5-gallon jugs from Home Depot. Stuff like that to try and save money. But man, it's something to start thinking about.
Sure.
What else you want to talk about? We talked about food security. We talked about water security.
About a little bit of medical, maybe.
Medical. That's one nobody ever talks about.
No. And
not, I don't want to say nobody, but it's an easy one to put on the back burner.
I was going to say, not to prop up other channels or whatnot, but there's quite a few creators out there that do specific prepping / medical type. Mm-hmm. And one is Patriot Nurse. Okay. Check her out on YouTube.
Nice.
First aid doesn't mean that you're going to have to learn how to do open heart surgery in a cave. I mean, you know, simple things like, you know, controlling bleeding.
Yeah. Blood clotters.
Yeah.
Or tourniquets.
Tourniquets.
Antiseptic creams or wipes.
Right. You know,
burn treatments. Here's the thing, if you can't get to medical aid because things have gone weird, whether it's a more severe pandemic, a real virus that comes down the pipe, or maybe it's civil unrest that keeps you from getting the physical care that you need, What are some basic things that you're going to need? Band-aids, the ability to stop bleeding, the ability to disinfect cuts and wounds, because infection will kill you. I mean, you know, I think we've both had instances where it's like, oh, that got red real quick, and you're surprised at just how severe and how much we take antibiotics for granted, and such clean surfaces and clean drinking water and stuff like that. So, it's another area where, yeah, you could go and get your EMT basic or intermediate or become a medic or, you know, a flight nurse or something like that. But you don't have to get that deep. It has to start somewhere, though.
Right.
You know, an extra box of Band-Aids down in the basement. You know, an extra a pack of gauze.
Right.
Or just something so that you feel like you're making progress.
Isopropyl alcohol is a good one.
Alcohol, absolutely.
It can be used in a couple different ways, obviously.
Peroxide.
Cleaning wounds, but you can also use it as like a fire starter or stove type applications.
Or make hooch out of it in a still. No, I don't know.
Always going that direction, bro.
Hey, alcohol is important when things collapse. You need something to drink.
Something to knock the high spots off. Saying.
You're having a rough day. You want to set up a still in the basement, which is illegal, so don't do.
Yeah, you might get in trouble for that one. But no, even a basic first aid course.
Yeah, and the thing is, you don't have to spend a shit ton of money either. No. A lot of places offer basic training for free or very, very low cost. You know, get on the American Red Cross's website or Salvation Army. There's different organizations.
There's a disaster medical response handbook on Amazon for about $45.
Yeah, and I think that's another brilliant. I'm glad that you kind of segued here. This is another area of prepping that it's easy to forget about.
Yep.
But a simple SAS survival book, or like you just referenced, a medical basic first aid handbook, something that is a tangible, not an e-book, but you need something, a traditional with pages book in your physical library stored somewhere, because access to information, as we're seeing through right now, it seems fairly harmless because it's just political speech that's being censored. But what happens if your access to information gets turned off and you don't have hard copies of this stuff? You're going to be in trouble. And that's the thing, too. And the nice thing about like an SAS survival guide, or there's a million different versions of this, how to survive, the end of the world kind of writing, is that you don't have to become an expert at this stuff. But if you have a source, at least you can start working through it.
Right.
You know, you have a guide that will point you through steps, and because most of us can't be experts in everything.
No.
Hell, I'm barely an expert in a couple of things. Well, I wouldn't even go that far.
Right.
I'm not an expert in anything. So, and none of us have the kind of time to become hardcore, man, I'm just going to do it to the nth degree. So a written source like that is going to be a lifesaver, honestly.
Yeah. Let's see, we've got the...
medical. Let's talk about other tools than self-defense, like flashlights.
Okay.
Candles.
Flashlights. Everybody, I have, everybody says, what kind of flashlight do you carry? Where am I at? Because I have lights everywhere. Mm-hmm. I keep one in that bag over there. I have one mounted on my bike. Mm-hmm. These right here, these fit into like a stocking cap, like that gray one. Mm-hmm. I got them for the guys I work with. You hit that button, and then your hand's free.
Yes.
So having light, and also having light discipline, knowing if you're in a permissive or non-permissive environment, learning light is a good skill.
Yes. I think you would agree with this. If you start consistently, I've found, this is in my own life, and I think you'll agree, that when you start carrying... as a man or anybody really, but especially as a man, when you start carrying a pocket knife or some kind of utility tool, you're amazed at how much you start using it.
Yes.
And it's the same way for a flashlight. I know when I carry a flashlight, I'm amazed at how often in the day I will use that.
Yep.
But when you don't carry it, you don't have any, you're like, fiddle farting on your phone and think that's good enough. Most of the times it's not.
Right.
And so, yeah, the ability to create light, whether it's solar, charge your stuff solar, the ability to create energy off of light, but also learning light discipline, candles, flashlights, batteries, and not the weird ones that, you know, 55 volt that are square and half a millimeter thick. You know, let's get away from these weird batteries. You want, just like when it comes to ammo selection, which we're going to talk about next, you want stuff that runs on batteries that is pretty easily accessible.
Right.
Not these oddball things that are going to be really hard to find when things go bad.
Yeah, you know, I had a flashlight that I love that took those.
Those Cree.
CR123s?
Yeah.
Okay.
The fantastic lights.
I was going to say.
Power.
Right. I've reduced the lights that I use all the time to AA or AAA.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. Absolutely. That's smart.
It just, and please do me a favor, buy the lithium. They're more expensive. But if you corrode the inside of one of these, mm-hmm. you're going to be very unhappy.
I almost had that happen on my night vision on my rifle scope.
Yeah.
Let it sit for too long and it almost got squirrel. I was like, oh,
that's not good.
I opened it up and saw it. I'm like, yeah, I think I need to clean this out real quick.
Right.
If I had left it for another couple months, I might have actually ruined the scope. So yeah. I agree. Good point. Fire starting tools.
Yes.
You know, the ability to make fire, rope, you know, mm-hmm. some twine. It doesn't have to be, you know, what were the damn bracelets that everybody was all geeked about, that the teenagers were making them.
Oh, the ones that, paracord bracelets.
Paracord. You don't have to get weird and have like paracord braids around your neck and
right.
wrapped into your clothing and you
right.
know.
But I do recommend using paracord for bootlaces.
Okay. That it's a great tool, but it's not yeah. the only tool.
Right.
So, you know, having just a small pack of rope in your tool shed, your basement somewhere, mm-hmm. You'd be amazed. For us, it's boat rope because we boat a lot.
Yep.
You'd be amazed at how often you use that to tie stuff down and to secure loads. And
Brian Jarvis says you need a good stick.
You need a good walking, well, a good whacking stick too. That way you can hit Michigan fans across the table when they start acting up.
Right.
No, you know what's funny. I love that comment. What's great about sticks or canes or umbrellas is they're one of the few self-defense tools, if you learn to use it that way, that you can carry everywhere on the planet legally.
Yep.
You won't get a knife through TSA, but you might get a cane.
Yep. Sure will.
So, yeah, something to think about. Yeah, a good whack-em stick.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should, let's jump into the...
Let's talk about self-defense tools.
Yeah.
We saved the sexy part for last, and you can tell that because our viewership dropped down.
To 5.
Yeah, everybody's like, okay, this is not really that fun. No, look, most of prepping is not sexy. Would you agree with that?
Pretty much.
I mean, it's boring.
Right. It's like watching paint dry, especially if you know it and are practicing it. It's like, okay, let's move to something else.
Yeah. And so this was kind of a prepper's kind of 30,000 foot view for people that are uninitiated, and just kind of, I think motivation was my driving force behind tonight's podcast, is to get you motivated to start taking action in your own life. And we didn't talk, when it comes to preparedness, about physical fitness.
Yes.
Look, if we've learned anything from this pandemic, is that if you have comorbidities, if you're struggling with your immune system, or the types of, you know, you're eating junk food all the time, which I'm often guilty of, trying to change that now. But the poorer your health is, the more severe this virus seems to be hitting us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So physical health as part of your preparedness for challenging times. I mean, I love the meme that said, why is it that people that talk about revolution and civil war can't even run a damn mile, you know? And it mm-hmm. said, basically, I'm looking at you, Meal Team 6 and Gravy Seals. I thought that was freaking hilarious because yep. I'm guilty of that. Mm-hmm. We talk like we're so hardcore and, man, I'm ready for the zombie apocalypse, but we can't walk around the block or 2 miles
without passing out,
without, you know, struggling a little bit. And so I've been changing that for 2 months now. I'm working on that and hitting the gym hard. And so that's part of preparedness too, is being fit enough to carry resources if you need to hike somewhere, if you have to, you know,
My thoughts on physical fitness is this: the more fit that you are, the more damage your body can take and still move.
Yeah, and the harder you are to kill.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. kind of
so.
That.
But getting to the sexy part of prepping is firearms. That's an easy one for me to talk about all day. I will say this: if you don't have firearms, The simple answer is it's time to get some. Yeah, let me make it pretty obvious there.
Yeah,
and you're gonna say, well, prices are real high right now. Yeah, and here's the reality: they're not going to get any cheaper,
right?
Because under the next under this coming administration, you're going to see policies put into place that are going to keep firearms from coming back to where they were 2 years ago.
Sure.
It's not coming back to that.
Right. That's happy talk if you think it is.
Get over it. And so, you know, the AR-15, the entry-level AR-15 that you could buy last year for $600 is now going to be $800.
Right.
Or more.
Or more, right.
And the nice quality AR-15s that last year might have gone for $1,000 or $1,500 are going to be closing in on $2,000. I'm telling you, it is time to sell off. You know, the extra Harley you have sitting in the garage that you never, or that project car that you thought you were going to restore that's been sitting for 25 years. Dude, if you're not armed and don't have the ability to protect yourself and the people you care about, now is the time to remedy that.
Right.
I can't stress that enough.
I'll take it a step further. You've seen ammo prices.
Yes.
If you say I'm going to wait until the price comes back down, you are making a huge mistake.
You're not going to have ammo.
Right.
So even if you currently have firearms, you say, well, I've got, you know, a couple hundred rounds of this or a couple hundred rounds of that. I'm going to tell you, that's not enough. And two, like Josh said, if you're waiting for prices to normalize and stabilize again, it's not coming.
Right.
For at least 2 years. That's a projection that I'm reading, and I dig down into the stuff just like Josh does. Mm-hmm. You're looking at 2 years because it's a combination of the coming administration, the coming legislation, the current panic buying by people like you and me, on top of the limited manufacturing due to coronavirus shutdowns. We are not going to see ammo supply or prices stabilize for 2 years, if ever.
Right.
So get out there. If you don't have it, look, it's time. I know it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, I know on Akron Reserve Ammo and some of these online cheaper than dirt stuff like that, and everybody wants to bitch when these guys charge an arm and a leg. Look, they're responding to the market.
Yep.
And as conservatives, if you don't like free market capitalism, you're not really a conservative anyways.
Right.
So everybody wants to cry price gouging. Oh, price gouging. No, that's what the market's bearing right now. And so that 1,000 round case of 5.56 for your AR that used to go for $200 and some, $250,
mm-hmm.
you know, somewhere in there, is now pushing $700-$800 for 1,000 rounds. It's hurtful, but you got to do something, man.
That and it, here's my second tier of the whole ammo thing. Now is not the time to stop shooting, because some people will say, "I'm not going to buy ammo at that price. I'm just not going to shoot it for now." No, you need to keep shooting. That's a skill set, and it's perishable.
It is.
If you stop shooting,
you're going to suck in a year.
That's the way that works. I don't like it, but I know I'm going to go out and I'm going to train, and I'm going to stay proficient.
Yes.
And unfortunately, you're going to pay a price for that ammo.
Yeah, you are, and that's not changing.
Right, and that's...
That's the area of prepping that is painful right now. Food is still fairly accessible,
yep.
Even with inflation. Now, I would argue that stagflation might be coming, where food prices are going to be a lot worse. Now's a good time to start taking care of that. Water, honestly, your municipal water supply is so damn cheap that it is not physically, it's not financially painful to put some water back.
Right.
It really isn't, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy one. Medical supplies are still really reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So firearms are the one aspect of prepping that the price is getting painful,
yes.
But it's not going to abate. You have to take action.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who don't know, look, man, this is one area where maybe Joe Biden was partially right. Start with a shotgun. You know, old Jill out there shooting rounds off on the back deck, as he said, how ridiculous. But hey, look, man, a shotgun's a great tool. A handgun that is big enough for home defense and yet sleek enough to carry on your body discreetly if you need to.
Yep.
Past that, you know, I always argue, and I think you would agree, there are probably four firearms that every American man should own, and that's going to be some type of shotgun. I don't care if it's a field gun or if it's a tactical 20 gauge, 12 gauge, sweet 16, nobody buys them anymore, but you know, 18 gauge, 410, something, a shotgun. On top of that, I would argue a good handgun.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, I would argue a 22 rifle, like a Ruger 10-22 or a Savage, for plinking, for game procurement, you know, to feed your family if you have to, and even in self-defense in a pinch. And the cost of ammo on that, even though that is climbing through, you know, back in the day, I paid 3 cents a round. Okay, good for you.
Yeah.
The reality is now it's going for 20 cents a round or more, and it's painful, but it's still the cheapest ammo out there. And so a 22, and then finally, some form of quote-unquote battle rifle. And I'm going to hold up an AR pistol here. Chamber has been cleared. You know, don't stress me about safety. But if you can see it, this is a inexpensive pistol I put together for my son. This is not my primary AR. But a fun range toy, but if needed in an emergency, good for self-defense, right? Yeah. So important thing is always keep your finger, I mean never, never put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to shoot. But, you know, you can put something together like this now, unfortunately, $600, $700. It used to be cheaper. But, you know, and a little optic on there, something like that. Drop that mag back out. Maybe for you it's an AK. Maybe it's something different or in a different caliber. I don't care. But you should start somewhere. And you say, well, I don't need an AR. Well, maybe you don't.
Right.
Now, but what happens when you do?
Right.
Or what happens when it's the gun that a political party wants to ban, and now you're not going to be able to get it anymore?
Right.
To me, it's something every American male ought to own. And we could dive into deeper reasons for that, but I don't want to spend too much time there. You say, well, I don't have the kind of budget to buy four guns because, look, Brian, you said a handgun, that's $500 for a good self-defense gun. And you said a shotgun, that's $300 to $500 for even something cheap. And then you add an AR, which is going to be a minimum of $600. So, you know, it's easy to get. And then some ammo, you're looking at $2,000. Most of us don't have that sitting around because, for one, our government didn't issue $2,000 corona checks because they wanted to give $10 million to Pakistani gender studies and then wonder why people, you know, raid the Capitol building. But even if you don't have $2,000 to spend on firearms, hey, man, get out and do something.
Yep.
You know, at least buy one. And you say, I don't even have $500. Well, you better figure it out, man. You better, you know, sell some stuff off that you've been sitting on, you know, old musical instruments, that second guitar that you were hoping to eventually start picking up. It's time to start figuring out how to get this stuff because I think challenging days are ahead of us.
And how.
Anything else you want to add about guns?
With guns, I've way simplified over the years. A Ruger 10-22.
Yes. Great gun.
A combat rifle of your choice.
Yes.
Commie or American.
Yeah.
And a pistol.
And a pistol.
Right. I don't do whiz-bang bullets. Like, everybody's like, oh, I shoot this hollow point. I shoot. I don't. I shoot 55 grain ball, and I shoot whatever full metal jacket I have for my pistol. Because, and the reason I say that is, if you can't practice the way you're going to play, because I've had some really nice pistols, and I had some really cool, and I'll say the brand, Critical Defense, make some really cool stuff.
Sure.
That particular handgun would not feed it reliably.
Yeah, and so there, I'm going to make maybe a small disagreement with you here on this one, is that for rounds that you don't intend to use on a regular basis until, you know, shit collapses, like your AR rounds, short of practicing and just having fun for now. Even your shotgun, if you're not a big hunter, yeah, you can get away with piles of birdshot in your basement instead of, you know, military grade buckshot. Okay, fine. But when you're, if you're a concealed carrier, I would argue that you need to be carrying hollow points in your defensive handgun, only because that's also going to be part, this is legal, that's also going to be part of your legal case when criminal charges or civil case is brought against you. If you have ball ammunition or target rounds and you get over penetration and hit somebody innocent, the fact that you chose target ammunition instead of hollow points, which have a lower likelihood of pass-through, is going to be part of the case that is brought against you. So I always tell my students, you know, when you're concealed carry handgun, you better be carrying hollow points because that will be an issue of contention in your court cases. I would also argue, though, like you just proved, you better be shooting at least 50 to 100 of those rounds through your handgun to make sure your handgun likes to eat that.
Right.
And so you're going to want to get three or four different kinds and see what your gun prefers, because otherwise you might have to go to that handgun and have a real bad day finding out, well, my gun doesn't like to shoot this ammo, and that's going to really suck if you really need it to work.
Yeah. See, I would go ahead and sue me. I'm okay with being sued.
Yep. Well,
I mean,
we're all different.
That's what I would much rather that thing, and this is the debate. I would much rather see it function every time and go bang. That's why somebody asked me about carrying a .22 for a concealed carry.
Yeah.
And I told them I wouldn't do that only because I've had a lot of misfires with rimfire.
Sure. It's rimfires are inherently unreliable over the long haul.
Right.
I'll give a caveat on that as well. Springfield rules.
I know.
He's messing with me, my buddy Joe, because I joked earlier in the week that Springfield is just a fancy high point. I don't have much love for Springfield, only because of their grip safeties, external safeties make me
cringe.
Yeah, every time I shoot a gun with an external safety, I have to go wash my hands because I feel defiled. And so I'm a Glock fanboy. There's no secret in that. And so I like guns without external safeties. But instead of getting down in the weeds on that, I will say, you know, I've had students tell me, look, I can't shoot anything but a .22 because of physical limitations or
right.
psychological issue, whatever. If .22 is all you can shoot,
sure.
then yeah, it's better than a brick.
Right.
Having said that, look, you better get some hot .22s like CCI, mm-hmm. something that's self-defense oriented that's going to cycle that gun really well.
Yep.
And even then, be prepared to clear malfunctions because rimfire ammo is not ideal for self-defense. And shot placement is going to be king on that because it's not going to have the ballistic energy. You know, you dump 10 rounds of .22. There was a story, and we've talked about this before, on Drudge Report, I'm going to say probably a year ago now or more, of a guy walking into the ER under his own power having been hit 17 times. And I think it was with 9mm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, if a dozen and a half rounds of 9mm, somebody can survive and still walk into right. a hospital. How effective is your .22 going to be if you don't have good shot placement?
Well, and that's one of the sort of a rule I use. If I ever had to use a handgun, it would be to fight my way to something I shouldn't have put down in the first place. The least effective of all the guns, let's say,
mm-hmm.
on the human body is a handgun. Your combat rifle is always more effective.
Sure.
A shotgun with a 1-ounce slug is more effective.
Sure, but we can't carry those.
Right. That's what I'm.
Normal times.
Sure.
Well, technically, you could carry this AR pistol with your concealed carry license. So, and I haven't carried this one. I have carried an AK pistol before, which you always feel like you're in the Russian mafia or something, but it's not very practical.
I got a hat, dude. You can wear the hat.
All right, sweet. Hey, look, this was meant to be a kind of surface primer. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you guys got any questions, feel free to ask. If you have any knowledge you want to share about, you know, without giving away your operational security in the comment feed, if you want to send us a message and say, hey, this is what I found successful in my own prepping lifestyle, or you have ideas you want to throw at us, or you want to get in touch with Ed and talk to him about some of the stuff that he's throwing together mm-hmm. for challenging days, because I tell you what, man, they're not going nowhere, and that's not just pessimistic thinking. I think we're really going to experience some shaking events over the next year to 4 years, and you don't want to be behind the curve when it comes to taking care of your family. Provision and protection, the two biggest elements of leadership in your home. Taking care of the people that you love, protecting them, being able to feed and water and defend the stuff that's valuable to you. I hope that this struck a spot of truth in your heart and that it motivates you to at least get started. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be a millionaire. You don't have to have, you know, a full Kyvex, you know, Kim's nuclear suit, and,
right.
and you can get really tinfoil kind of deep into this stuff, and a lot of people do, and I'm not judging that, but you don't have to go there, and so don't get overwhelmed, but get started on something, man.
It's been an hour.
It's been an hour. What are we going to talk about next time? Next Sunday?
Yeah, we should do it next Sunday.
6:30.
Your work schedule permits?
Yeah, at 7 days from now, we won't have the inauguration by then. But if you want, we could break down, because we didn't really touch on it tonight, the events at the Capitol, the March on Washington. That by that point, we will see how badly Ohio State gets beat down and what happened with the Browns.
Right.
And But we'll figure out something interesting to talk about. We will see you next Sunday at 6:30.
That is a wrap, my friends. We will we'll put up some type of like a, you know, I might even do something halfway through the week.
Okay.
A small video message or something like that.
Yeah, we've been sharing more articles on the Patient Patriot Facebook page. Don't be afraid to share those. Get this feed out to people that you know. We're trying to really keep that more active. Josh and I have both been engaged on that page this week, sharing articles and stories and memes and cultural touchstones of what we're living through right now as a culture. So don't be afraid to engage the page.
And that, my friends, is a wrap. I'm going to start with a little or end with something. Always question everything.
Yes.
And think for yourself.
Well, I didn't get to sing this week.
You're going to sing?
Yeah.
What are you going to sing, bro?
Since we're talking about prepping in the future, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Don't stop. It'll soon be here. And if you remember, that was Bill Clinton's campaign song from 1992.
That's why when I hear that, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Future's coming, man.
Shooting in my ear, and I can't.
Best president we ever had.
Anyway, until next Sunday, stay sharp, keep a tight chat group, and rock on.
Oh, yeah.